Well, our community, our tribe, just love these tax incentive investments that are available because government still wants us to put as much money as we possibly can into helping to build a private Eskom. Jonty Sachs and Vincent Maphosa are with us in studio to give us some insight into another opportunity. They might be ending. We're not saying they're going to, but they might not be around forever. So pay close attention. Jonty, you've done well for our tribe so far. I know the feedback that I'm getting from those who have invested in the tax incentive opportunities has been very positive. But Vincent's a new face for our community. Do you want to introduce Vincent to us?
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. Thanks. You know, in the investment world, you need good partners. You know, so the excellence in our business is we know how to structure investments, we know how to manage them, and we know how to pick the winners. And, you know, it's been 12 years in business and we've been very fortunate to pick mostly winners. And today, you know, we've got Vincent joining us and he's a winner or a jockey of a business that we've been funding for many years. And, you know, Vincent is one of the co-founders of and I'll let Vince explain the business, but he's a co-founder of a company in the solar space, which focuses on residential solar. And we've been funding, or co-founding the business for a number of years, and it's been a joyous experience for us. And we're now embarking on a bigger relationship, a more meaningful relationship. And, you know, this brings a real great opportunity for the BizNews tribe. So maybe, Vince, do you want to just give us a sense of utility?
Yeah, thanks, Jonty. Thanks, Alec. Great to be part of the tribe for today. Yeah, we started our business about 6 years ago with the whole idea being, you know, customers should subscribe for solar or energy the same way they're paying for utility services in the landscape that we found ourselves in. So we had a bit of background information on what could potentially happen with regards to load shedding and tariff increases. But it was quite difficult to get funders aligned with that perspective, right? It was a new asset class. A lot of them were quite keen on looking at it as either a vehicle and asset finance product or a home loan product. And we had to find a comfortable middle that would make us roll out or allow us to roll out quite quickly. And we found great partners in Jaltech. Very early stages when we were still trying out a few concepts, we curated a great product for our end customers and we've rolled out several thousand systems with Jaltech as partners. So quite proud of what we've managed to achieve, what our finance team as well has managed to achieve by looking at the different alternative structures that could lead to customer success, which is what we really are passionate about.
So it's all about solar though. Vince?
Well, it's slightly more complicated than that, but yeah, solar is a big component of it. I think it's more about usage of electricity in the home and small business. And we bundle our product, you know, one of our banner products is the Beast Bundle, where we provide the homeowner with solar panels, a battery, smart geyser control from our partners, Plentify. We add in an air fryer, which typically makes our customers quite happy. But the whole premise behind that is if you consolidate all of that, particularly the smart geyser control and the battery, right? Because the attachment rate for us is 1:1. So each of our systems has a battery. And that allows for, you know, call it the peak shaving as well as the consumption or optimized consumption for the end consumer. What we also do is we look at billing, right? So currently because we have a CT connected to a person's DB board or homeowner's DB board, we have all the information on how much power is consumed, when it's consumed, how much it costs. And then we sell that back to the consumer as an in-principle calculation of the savings that they make. And we're embarking on a few other very interesting things, especially in the billing space. And we recently launched a product, which is AI mode, which basically takes the average consumer from somewhere between 50 to 65% savings on the electricity bill to 90% by maximizing the use of the resources that are available to you. So your solar doesn't lie idle. It's just optimized to peak and maximize its potential throughout the course of the day. It charges your batteries. When you have that peak period, say between 4 and 9 p.m., the power consumed, the large majority of it is actually from your battery. So your solar is never really lying idle. And that's, you know, some of the work that our tech and engineering team really focuses on. So it is slightly more complicated than just solar.
Great. Jonty, just from your side, so that we're a little more balanced, would you be able to fiddle a little bit with your camera and come up a bit in the screen, because you kind of look like the short guy amongst us. And I know you're not
short. I'm out.
You're not quite there, but it's okay. You know, we're a bit closer to each other. So how did you find Vince, and why should we be investing in his operation through the latest vehicle that you have?
Yeah, so, you know, we embarked on our solar journey over 2 years ago. And in that process, you know, we met with the market. You know, I think the first 3 months of entering the solar space, me and my team, we had over 300 meetings. And this was really during peak load shedding. And, you know, to get a meeting with a solar company, it was pretty easy because we had capital available and there was such demand for their product. So we really canvassed the market, and we had to filter out the good from the bad. And Vince's business really tickled all the boxes for us, especially from an investor's perspective. You know, so the key here is, what do we want? We want easy, consistent cash flows, and we want diversification. And that's what Weetility as a fund manager offers us, because investors aren't getting exposure to 5 or 10 large scale CNI or corporate and industrial solar projects. They're getting exposure to thousands of homes. Now, if you can manage your default risk or cancellation risk from customers, then what do you have? You've got a subscription model, which is the likes of Netflix, Spotify, and customers, if they're happy, they stay and they keep paying and they keep paying. And that's really been the experience we've had with them. So, you know, for us, we don't want to give investors 10x. That's not the kind of business or the risk that we take. We want to give consistent yields. Now, what's critical here is the tax deduction. So, that can our partner deliver? Can our partner assist us in deploying capital and giving our investors the tax deduction? And that's been our experience. And, Weetility is hungry for capital. They've got great products in the market. They're, I think, the fastest growing residential solar play in the market, doing huge amount of installations every month. And that's what we need as a business. So they give us the ability to deploy capital. They've got a really strong team. They're backed by a huge private equity fund, Metier. So they've got a real big brother behind them with strong balance sheet. And they've got a great track record, and they've been really performing for us over the years. So they tick all the boxes that we need as a fund manager. And the more we do business with them, the more comfortable we've become. And for us, it's just been such a wonderful opportunity. How we came across them? Well, we engage with a lot of the banks, particularly around debt funding. And we were introduced by one of the premier banks in the market. And, we took up the opportunity, and it's been really such a critical experience so far.
So just to remind you that you can participate by asking questions. If you have a look on your screen, there's a Q&A button there. Just click on that, type it in. Very easy to participate and to contribute to this. Vince, are you guys competitors then with Go Solar? Because the Go Solar guys are well known here, certainly well known in the Hogg household and amongst many of my friends, that they do a system where you pay every month. They've done the installation. I'm very, very happy with their service. But from what you were saying earlier, I think I need to get hold of them and ask them to do a little bit of bucking up, because you've got quite a few add-ons that I don't have here.
Yeah, so I think absolutely yes and no is probably the right answer. So we compete purely on subscriptions and trying to acquire customers. I think we do slightly differentiated things when it comes to just the experience and driving a holistic end-to-end experience for the customer. We enter into certain spaces as well in sort of the tech development space. So we were very particular about the types of products that we install. We stick to a certain quality product architecture that allows us to then drive that customer experience and that customer service. And that's really, really key to us. And it just supports the point that Jonty was making earlier about we want our customers to pay, right? And we want to minimize default as much as possible. And the investment that we make in tech, as well as just the customer experience, is what drives that and what leads us to having the kind of default rates that we currently have.
And is there a big enough demand still, given that load shedding hasn't been with us for a while?
Absolutely. I think it's really about value proposition, right? So we are really focused on cost savings and cost savings on your electricity bills. And load shedding is almost like the insurance package that comes with the fact that we provide cost savings plus, you know, you're covered against load shedding. And we've seen further growth, significant growth post the load shedding, call it peak period in 2022, 2023. And that's primarily driven by the value proposition and what we drive, which is the customer is able to save a maximum amount of money on the electricity bill. And secondly, if they encounter load shedding at any time of the day, regardless of when it is and what stage it is, because of the AI and the technology behind that, they will not experience that.
Okay. So, Jonty, the reason why we have people tuning in today or watching the recordings is to look at it from an investment perspective. The tribe likes to invest. So give us the outline for us, if you would, the investment proposition, and then we can start going to a few questions.
Perfect. So, yep. Fundamentally, as you mentioned earlier, investors have potentially a limited window. We're not sure how many years, how long the Section 12B incentive will be around. But really, this investment is centered around investors who have a tax problem. Maybe they've earned a large income, or they've sold a property or a business, and they've got a capital gains tax event, and they need to reduce their tax. So, forefront, if you have a tax problem, This is the type of investment for you. And the opportunity really is to invest with us. You claim a tax deduction. And where the smarts come in is we've raised a significant amount of money from a debt provider, which we're in the process of finalizing now. And why this is relevant is when you invest with us and we raise debt, the investor gets a tax deduction on their money as well as the debt. And where this gets even more exciting is Weetility have also put in capital into this investment, and they're not going to be claiming a tax deduction on their capital. Their capital is coming in and allow investors to claim a tax deduction on Weetility's capital. And what this means, and I'll share a quick slide, is that investors get an enormous tax deduction by investing. So effectively, if you invest with us, you'll get 135% tax deduction. So in other words, if you're in the top tax bracket, if you invest 100 Rand, you're getting 106 Rand back as a tax saving in this financial year.
Hold on a second. We've got to give a little bit of a disclaimer here, because there could be people who've come in here for the first time and they say, hey, what's this guy talking? Where is a snake oil salesman coming from? So I really just want to unpack a little bit about your own, Jeltic's own background. We've been partners with Jeltic now for some years. You're a lawyer, but you've got a bunch of actuaries around you. So you haven't just decided to start talking hot air to us. This presumably has been very well researched, and it's SARS agrees with it.
Yeah. Sorry, Alec, I just assumed the business community know Jeltic by now, so I'll take a step back. We're an investment fund manager, and we've offered various types of tax deductions in the past. Section 12J was we built our business around, but Section 12B has been around for some time, and we've raised and deployed more than 850 million rand. So we've got hundreds of investors who've invested with us, and they've all gotten their tax deduction. Some, maybe it was delayed because they had their own personal tax affairs not in order, but our investors, to my knowledge, have all, and hundreds of them, have gotten their tax deduction by investing with us in our earlier solo investment. So we've had 6 investments over the years, and this entitles our investors to get a tax deduction. We've deployed into more than 250 sites. So we own, in terms of commercial and industrial, more than 250. I can't tell you how many we have with Weetility in the residential space. It's a huge sum. But if we're talking large-scale commercial industrial, more than 250, and 99.5% of our portfolio is beautiful.
But Vince, while we wait for Jonty to come back on, from your perspective, he said that you're back, Jonty. We're seeing you again. That was the last thing you said. You know, Vince, we had one night early on with webinars. We had myself and Stuart, and then there was somebody who was out in Limpopo. She was on a farm there, and we were having this conversation, and myself and Stuart both dropped off, because that's the way that connectivity was those days. And this lady out in the middle of the sticks, she kept it going from Limpopo. So it just shows you never can tell. But how many homes are you guys in?
Yeah, so several thousand across South Africa. So, you know, not yet quite in the hundreds of thousands, but several thousand under 20. That's the full scope of it. We also have diversified products in the multi-dweller unit space where it's one system but servicing quite a number of customers. So we're also looking at getting into the metering and as well as the servicing the last mile space there with the partnerships that we have. But yeah, several thousands.
Brilliant. Jonty, we're talking about 135% and then 235%. So that's kind of where we lost you.
Okay. And Alec, did you hear the part where I was just giving a bit of insight into Geltech?
Yes, you were telling us about 850 million rand that you'd invested. And you had hundreds of solar installations. So we got all of that. Now what we're interested in is how you make that tax deduction work.
Perfect. And I think just to reiterate one point is the tax incentive is black and white, you know. There's legislation on it, there's SARS rulings on it. So, you know, if people are worried around can they claim the tax deduction, I can give them whatever certainty they need. So what's exciting about the investment and what I'm gonna do is I want to share my screen, but unfortunately, when I had to log back in, I want to just see if I can quickly load my presentation, but I'll talk through it in the meantime. And the interesting thing here is an investor who invests into a Section 12B investment, they are entitled to 100% tax deduction. Okay, so they can, so if your taxable income is 5 million rand and you invest 1 million rand, you can write off the million against the 5 million that you earn. So instead of paying tax on 5 million, you'll only pay tax on 4 million rand. So there's an immediate saving. And because of this, investors can either reduce their provisional tax or their income tax, and they enjoy the benefits. So that's about it. There we go. So you can see the screen. Okay, great. So this is what I'm explaining. If you invest a million rand, if you're in the highest tax bracket, which is 45%. You can reduce your tax by 1 million rand, and then you're not going to pay tax on that 1 million rand. So you're going to get a tax saving of 450,000 rand, which is really meaningful. But what we've done as a business is we've in the process of finalizing a debt facility, which will go into the investment, and our investors will be able to claim a tax deduction on their money and on the debt portion. In addition, Wetility will be also putting money into the investment. They'll match whatever we raise by 17.6%, and their capital will come into the investment. And what this then allows is the investors.
Sorry, what do you mean by that, Jonty? They'll match what we raise by 17.6%.
So, if we raise 1 million rand, if we have one investor who puts in 1 million rand, Wetility will put in 170,000 rand alongside our investors. Okay. And I think just as a side point, why this is important is it gives investors some peace of mind that the jockey behind this has skin in the game. And their skin in the game is meaningful because if this investment does poorly and we start losing capital, the first capital to be lost is Wetility's. So their skin is the first to be burned. And the incentive around this is, you know, has multiple levels. This prevents or disincentivizes Wetility from signing up thousands of homes in terrible areas with people who can't afford it. And at the end of the deal, at the end of the term of the investment, Wetility have signed that they will buy the assets from us at an agreed price. So what they don't want to be doing is buying assets which are poorly installed, poorly maintained, and poorly monitored. So there's a really good incentive for them to look after these assets. So they're investing into the fund. Our investors get a tax deduction on their money. They get a tax deduction on the bank's debt. Now, what this looks like mathematically is, and you'll see this here, the line that says third-party funds, is that an investor who invests R1 million can deduct their million and can deduct 1.350 million rand in addition. So if you add the two amounts up, the investors can claim a deduction of 2,350,000 rand. They pay tax at 45%. So not having to have to pay tax on 2,350,000 rand equates to a tax saving of 1,060,000 rand. Now, as an investor, I'm an investor in this fund. I'll be investing, assuming I invest R1 million, and I'll be able to get a refund or pay less provisional tax in August of 1,060,000. So I've gotten all my money back in the first year. I'm still invested. I remain invested. And then I just earn a yield for the remaining term of the investment, which is 10 years. So investors are heavily de-risked upfront through the refund, and there are other forms of de-risking that investors have. And what I'll do after this webinar is we'll distribute to those who have registered a investment video which explains the investment in more detail. I can understand many people this might be going over their heads, so we'll do that just to answer some questions which I'm sure we'll have.
But the bottom line here is, because you've gone out and you've borrowed money from other sources, as you say, a third party sources, you're gearing up, you're leveraging, in other words, my R1 million that I'm putting in there. And as a result of that, the R1 million I put in, provided I've got tax base, I will be able to write that back against my tax that I would have otherwise had to pay in year one, and still have another 60 grand's worth of walking around money. That's quite nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice. What's also nice is the debt isn't recourse against the investor. So if this investment goes belly up, our debt provider, which is one of the large banks, they won't go knocking on our investors' doors, because the bank's right to recover the capital that they've provided us is only against the physical assets. So investors don't have exposure to the bank against any defaults. But bear in mind, when we conclude this investment and we raise all the capital, investors will have exposure to 3,000 homes. So from a diversification perspective, it's incredible. Utilities default rates is in the single digits, low single digits. And they have an obligation that if a homeowner defaults or terminates, they need to go collect that asset and then reinstall it as quick as possible somewhere else. And this reduces the length of time where there's a default. So normally when we invest in large commercial solar systems, if there is a default and we need to remove the asset, thankfully we've never had to do that. But this is a long process. This is a 3 to 4 month process. And then you need to find someone else where you can install that asset. Not easy. In the residential space, it is easy. And, if 50 homes, 70 homes stop paying, has very little impact on the returns because of the exposure to 3,000 homes. And I think from an investor's perspective, that's a huge allure, especially from our perspective as an investor. So I think from a risk perspective, this is one of the lowest risked Section 12B investments in the market. And just to repeat the point, is you're getting all your money and 60,000 rand back, but assuming you have assuming you're in the highest tax bracket.
We're going to go on to the questions in just a moment, but Vince, I've got to ask you the obvious question. Why 17.5%? Why not 27 or 7?
I think it's what makes the mechanics of our structure make sense as well. And because I think we're foregoing the Section 12B, we also have to look at our cost of capital on the equity side and make a decision that allows us to price the right way, because it is a subscription. So all the mechanics in the back end result in a final price for the consumer. And that price has to be competitive. And we have to make sure that as we go through the curve as well with our collections, and there's an annual escalation that also starts to factor in, we are not out of pocket too much. And also just from a return dynamics perspective, it's reflective of what our cost of equity is.
Are we still in South Africa at the point where there's more demand than supply? In other words, you aren't finding people like me hopping from one service provider to another, because there's actually, you don't need to rely on that. You can still farm the the market of people who are keen to get involved?
Absolutely. I think if you just look at the statistics or the numbers on the number of households in South Africa and the number of households that actually have solar. So there is, if you stratify that data, there is a segment of the market which is lower upper income to upper income households. There's a penetration percent in excess of 50%. Anything that's middle income to lower income, it's significantly lower than 20%. So that's the sweet spot for us. But because of our credit engine and how we vet credit in that space, we're getting quite good low default rates in that space. So the simple answer is, I think there's still quite a lot of demand. From a supply perspective, the models are still evolving to the point where a decision on switching has to be premised on the experience rather than, you know, some sort of in principle cost saving. Because the difference between us and, say, a competitor from a price perspective is not that drastic and dramatic for you to make that switch and you know, also incur the undisclosed non-financial switching costs associated with that. Just the comfort of knowing that the system works, you have a good operation and maintenance contract, you have serviceability in the area that you operate in, and also the ability to upgrade. Because as the price of electricity continues to go this way and the price of solar components continues to go down that way, we have an incentive to offer that as an incentive to our customer base through, you know, cost reflective upgrades for those consumers, but also just the economies of scale that come with a broader base. So, I mean, simply put, I think we're still in a very nascent period of that growth. We haven't reached the saturation point where, you know, 60 to 70% of all households in South Africa have a solution or have something that looks like a utility solution on their roof and in their garage.
Mm-hmm. We got a lot of questions, so I'm going to go to those now. And let's kick off with Ron. He was first up. Is this not quite a tough market in the long term, especially taking into account the big clean energy company in the US, Sunnova, which has just filed for bankruptcy? John, do you want to start there?
You know, Alec, in terms of demand, I think Vince is probably better to discuss than I am. I think demand is solid, you know. Vince, what do you think?
Demand is solid. There are certain things that we need to break through in terms of barriers to us accessing that demand, which is really customer perception and the notion that, you know, it might be a bit more complicated. How efficient is it? The other side to it is not a lot of players are playing back the information that the customer really desires at this point, which is, if I install this, do I save money or do I not? Is it cost effective going into the future? And how are you compared to the electricity tariff increases expected over MYPD 6 and 7 and 8 and 9? And what do you understand about utility power dynamics that I don't understand as a consumer? And are you comfortable sharing that? So a good example would be, you know, Eskom is running a price times quantity equation in order to pay off its debt. But as you can see, quantity is coming off the grid to a very large extent. So the one lever that they have to pull is definitely price. So if you take that into account, then you can clearly see where the price situation is going to end up. And we, you know, try to provide as much as we can a price increase or a subscription price increase, which is significantly lower than that from the consumer. And what we spend a lot of time, effort and money on is marketing as well and brand awareness and also, you know, selling the narrative around how this is beneficial, because it ultimately is the total cost of ownership of the home issue. And getting to the nub of the matter is presenting that information to the customer and proving that they own the total cost of ownership of their home is a lot lower, particularly the energy space, because they have a solution from us. And it's quite a journey, but from just pure numbers perspective, we're far from saturation.
I've got a feeling that many in the BizNews tribe are kind of on it because they know exactly what you've just articulated now about Eskom's got a big debt. It's got to repay its debt. It's not in a position to increase the volume of because there is a lot of competition around, so it's got to just jack up the price. And as a consequence, as it does so, people like you become more and more competitive. It's an old story, but a very, very strong chestnut. Diane wanted to know whether there is still sense in this if you don't have a tax event.
Mm. I wouldn't encourage someone to invest if they don't have a tax event. You know, if I look at my personal capacity, I invest to a point where, I mean, that, you know, what happens when you invest is, you know, at the moment, anyone earning more than 1.8 million rand is in the 45% tax bracket. if you invest a sum that brings you below 1.8, then you drop into the next tax bracket and so forth and so forth and so forth. So I wouldn't even suggest that someone in the 20% should invest. This is for someone, I would say, 30% up bracket to invest.
Thank you for putting that in perspective. 30% up, how much would you have to earn to be there, Jonty?
I think it's around, I'm guessing, just around the 500,000 rand mark.
Okay, so it's 60,000 a month kind of thing, taxable income.
Yeah, 45. Okay. 45, somewhere there.
Then you can start looking at that. Okay. Harshad's question is, why is this being brought to retail investors? Did institutional investors not see the opportunity and why did they pass on it? Ooh, Harshad, that's a little rough. We bring it to you because we're the BizNews community. We want you to win. But what do you guys think?
Well, institutional investors, you know, for example, the pension funds, they can't invest into this type of product because they don't pay tax. So they're not incentivized to. Do institutions invest? For sure. And there's a huge institutional amount of capital in this market, and they particularly focus on the large utility scale projects. You know, for an institution to invest, they're not going to invest 50 million rand. They want to invest $50 million. This is much smaller. You know, so here we're looking to raise, the total size of the fund is going to be 500 million rand, which for one institution, maybe they get out of bed for. But yeah, the incentive is for taxpayers who get this massive tax benefit. So the institutions aren't playing in the space. It makes sense for the retail market. And that's our expertise. You know, we try and give the retail market access to investments which they ordinarily wouldn't have access to.
So it's a little bit like what you said earlier. You would, if you did not have a tax benefit, you wouldn't really be looking at this as an opportunity. But the fact that there is a tax benefit makes it appealing. Pierre wants a little bit more detail on the 135% and 235%. Just unpack that for us, if you would.
Sure. So it's not 135, it's 235. So as Pierre might recall from the slides that I presented, is an investor gets 100% tax deduction on their money. Okay. They then get 100% tax deduction on the debt. And we're going to raise slightly more than that. I think we raise 117%. So if you invest 100 Rand, we'll raise 117 Rand of debt. Plus utilities contribution brings us up to 135. So that's 135 plus the 100 gives you 235. But I get it. You know, for a lot of people, this is the first time they're hearing about it. So we will distribute a short video explaining how the investment works.
Regine's question is, Section 12B applies if used in the taxpayer's trade. How would an investment count?
Sure. So it's a great technical question. So what the legislation says is, where you are involved in a trade, the sale of electricity, you can then claim the tax benefit. So how this investment works, and I know this is a bit technical, is investors invest into a partnership structure. They invest into a partnership, they become a partner. That partnership has capital and is managed by Geltec. And we take that capital and we buy solar, and all utility buys the solar, but we own this asset. So our partnership, our investors, they own this asset, and utility is really managing it for us. And they are then using this asset to sell electricity. So the partnership is effectively selling electricity to the end customers in the purpose of a trade, earning income, paying tax and distributing the proceeds to our investors. So we are actually running a business here. Our investors are investing with us, and the income that they derive is from the sale of electricity through trade. So it's very much compliant, and there's tax rulings, you know, that are publicly available. So
it works
from a legislative perspective, yeah.
Vince, there are lots more questions to go through, but Jonty's talking about a 500 million rand fund. Have you got appetite to install that many solar or options in the residential market?
Absolutely. We're actually looking for more, right? So the point is, we actually have quite a sizable pipeline, and we've taken a look at residential as a mix of things, right? It is single dweller unit homes as well as multi-dweller unit homes. And multi-dweller unit remains largely untouched, mostly because of the dynamics now. But if you think about multi-dweller unit homes, you know, being split between what is previously, you know, developed already sits with a body corporate sectional title and what the developers are doing now at scale, where they are the body corporate for a sizable amount of time before they hand over that to the homeowners or the body corporate that then takes over from them. And they're rolling out several thousands of homes at a time. And we're looking at that as what goes into this pool. And we've spent a lot of time developing those relationships because the difficulty with that body corporate or multi-dweller unit home space is you can have apathy towards anything because of the power that the body corporate has. And what's really driving that is service. And how good or how effective your service is determines your fortunes in that space. And that's what we've really started focusing on and coming up and curating specific products that support that. So absolutely, there is appetite. We've already built up quite a large pipeline for the 500 million rand. We have an outlook on it where we see that, you know, being deployed fairly quickly.
Everyone wants to know from you, Jonty, how does that 135% translate to 100 rand investment with 106 rand tax deduction?
Mm-hmm. So the correction there, it's not 135%, it's 235%. So if you take 235% times about 45%, which is your someone in the high tax bracket, that'll give you just under 106, 105.76. So that's how we get to the 106.
And you had something else you wanted to add?
So, yeah, I want to just add from Wetility's capital requirement is we have Wetility have an immediate need of 200 million rand. So we are in the process of raising capital, and we're going to do it in tranches, and we know we have a home immediately for approximately 200 million rand. So, you know, what's unique about this is there's such a thirst for capital. And one of the risks with 12B, which many 12B investors will know really well, is if we aren't able to deploy the capital in time before the end of February, they don't get the full tax deduction. So investing early in this fund gives investors a much higher likelihood of being fully deployed. And we know the first 200 million rand has a home. And then I won't disclose it, but we know Wetility's monthly cash flow requirements for CapEx, and it's enormous. So we're not worried about the capital need.
That's really important. Often we have heard of investments into 12B and before that 12J, where people have put the money in, but they haven't actually been invested. So you don't get the tax benefit. You're saying in this case, you will get it.
Well, for the first 200 million, I can tell you that the certainty is like 99.9%. So the first 200 million is a home. And then as Wetility grow every month, we'll have a pipeline to invest. And we think the 500 million will be easily deployed by the end of February. Who knows? But, you know, we wouldn't raise more capital than we can deploy. And we're pretty confident at the moment.
Doug wants to know, and it's a question I'm quite interested in as well, does this work for a PTY or a trust?
It works for both. It's more the tax bracket of a trust and an individual, they're the same. They're high in the 45s. For a company, it's lower, only 27%. So upfront, a company will only be able to claim 27% times 235, which is still attractive. So the upfront benefit for a company is lower, but the income that the company earns is taxed at a lower rate. So over the term, very similar returns, but upfront, you de-risk way more as an individual because of unit 45 or as a trust in the 45 bracket. We've got lots of trust invested, lots of individuals, very few companies.
Very few PTYs?
Very few.
But why would that be? Because it's not as appealing as for an individual, but it's still quite attractive.
Because PTYs that would invest, it's normally entrepreneurial run. So the smart way to do things is for that entrepreneur to pay themselves a bonus. So in other words, a bonus is an expense in the company, company's profits drop, and then the entrepreneur invests the bonus and gets a 45% benefit versus the company's 27. So they're clever ways of structuring one's tax.
So if I came to you and I said, the PTY's got a little bit of extra cash, come, let's invest here, you'd say, pay yourself a bonus rather, and your tax event
I'd say speak to your tax advisor, but this is a solution.
Okay. What is the duration of the investment? And maybe Vince can tell us what's the duration of Wetility as well. Do you want to start there, Jonty, on the duration of this investment?
Sure. So the investment is 10 years, as with all our Section 12B investments. But I think what's important for investors to be reminded of, and I know I've said it 1,000 times, is they're getting all their money back and 6% in the first year if they're in the highest bracket. So they got the money out, but then they're in for 10 years. And then they generate a yield. Ultimately, you know, they've gotten their money out, but they are in for 10 years. And for some investors, that's not appealing. But when you really factor in the fact that you've exited all your money out in the first year, I think the 10 years is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Vince, how long?
Absolutely.
From your side?
Yeah. Similarly, for us, it's a 10-year, we take a 10-year view on the customer, and that's supported by warranties. But from a pricing perspective, we price over that 10-year period. The contractual terms are some customers initially are in for 36 months, and then they make a decision to continue for another 36 months, and then they make a decision to continue another 36 months. So 6 years in, we've had a few anniversaries of that where the customers have opted to continue. But at some point, you know, they can make a decision if they so wish to buy the system outright and then move on from there. But for this particular structure, I think we're matching it for that 10-year horizon on the investment.
Christo's question is, what is the expected final or bullet return at the end? And when is that, the amount reflecting the disposal of the assets?
So, you know, what I think is really appealing from an investor's perspective is Wetility have signed terms to buy the asset at 20% of its original value. So we know we've got a buyer and we know the price and we know when it'll take place. So investors will be exited year 10 at a predetermined price. And, you know, I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but effectively, if you're investing R1 million, you'll get roughly R90,000 back as a final bullet. But bearing in mind, you would have gotten cash flows throughout the 10 years. And the tax benefit. And that 9% is after tax, after fees. Mm. So it's quite a nice
benefit. In 10 years' time, your R90,000 is going to be worth a heck of a lot less than it's worth today because of inflation.
Yeah. You know.
So it's not in real terms. It's in actual phenomenal.
Correct. Yeah. You know, what happens with these investments or these type of assets is they depreciate over time. So, you know, investors are enjoying that. Effectively, the deduction is the upfront depreciation. They're enjoying it upfront. But yes, so, you know, after tax at 45%, so if we gross it up for tax, they're going to get, call it 18% of the original investment back, but then obviously paying tax.
I know this is always forgotten because it's an investment, but man, the more that you get this investment into the energy sector in South Africa, more electricity, the better it is for the country. So I know people say, come on, why are you worrying about that? But it's good for the country. I mean, there is and that's why you get the tax benefit from it. So well done, Treasury. You guys are doing the right thing here because, you know, we're going to go anywhere. We need electricity in our nation. Hoshad's back. He says, what are the tax consequences at the end of the investment? E.g., in 12J, the invested capital was taxed at capital gains tax rates from the first rand. So what happens here?
Here, it's any distribution. So any money the investor gets through the partnership is taxed as income tax. So even the bullet at the end, they're paying income tax on all capital received.
Naeem says, will this investment be available via a broker, e.g. Easy Equities? And if so, is there any more information? Yeah, it's good. It's a good call, that one. Yeah.
No, it won't be. You know, with Easy Equities, the check sizes are often as little as you like. Here, there's a minimum. So the minimum is R500,000, and they would come directly through us. And you know, we then administer it.
Yeah, it's definitely not the Easy Equities market at R500,000 a shot. But then again, I suppose you're also talking that you need to be in the top tax bracket to make it to make it worthwhile anyway. Well, not the top, but certainly above R60,000 a month. And again, Regine's back. I presume this will then be an Encommandite partnership. Is it an existing one or newly created?
Exactly. That's the structure. It's a partnership structure, and it's a new one. So we form new partnerships for every different type of solar investment that we have. This is our seventh one, and it's investors will only have exposure to the Wheatility suite of solar portfolio.
And her follow-up question, do you prepare a tax pack for the investors to submit to SARS, and have they been accepted by SARS previously?
Yeah, we do all the admin in terms of putting statements together, packs together, tax guides together. Then with almost all our investors, we then get a query and then we put together a real detailed pack. And have investors gotten, has this been approved by, been accepted by SARS? Yes. And hundreds of it. So, you know, we've got north of 400, maybe even 500 investors. I haven't heard a single investor not getting the tax benefit. Some, it's taken some time because of their own personal tax affairs not being in order, but we have not had an issue at all with investors getting the tax benefit.
And Vince, from your perspective, are you happy to be working with just a limited number of investors there, or how does your whole structure work? Because clearly you're running a business. You want to put solar panels on people's roofs and get into their, give them technology that's going to make them more efficient. How big a part of what you do is the funding?
It's a significant part of what we do, because, you know, close on 95% of everything we do is funded, and it's via subscription or some other structure. But for us, really, it's about weighted average cost of capital more than anything else, and what allows that to happen, and the spread between the cost of whatever capital we have and the return that we're able to make for our equity side of the investment. So we like to restrict our partnerships firstly to entities or partners that understand what we're trying to achieve, and also understand what sort of capital we require and at what stages. As Jonty also mentioned earlier on, you know, Metier Private Equity is a big investor in Wheatility. And then we start looking at structured solutions or structured capital that allow us to offer the subscriptions that we want to offer. And as the book continues to grow, there's always opportunities for things such as refinancing and inviting other parties into it. But I think for now, we're quite comfortable with the structures that we have. It's appropriate for where we're going and the size of the business that we are today.
Robbie's question is, can you link this to a 12J exit? Nice question.
That's a wonderful question. So, you know, one of the downsides of Section 12J is when you exit, whatever sum of money you get back, you're paying capital gains tax. So if you invested R1 million and you only got your R1 million back, maybe let's say you only got R500,000 from your million, you're paying capital gains tax on the full amount back. And that's 18%. And how you calculate capital gains tax is whatever your gain is, you add 40% of that into your income. And that forms your income, and then you pay tax. The beauty with Section 12B is, although the 12J money comes into your income, the 12B money will reduce that income and you'll pay less tax. So we got many, many of our investors. We just recently exited investors, and I must say, probably the best performing fund that I'm aware of in the market, our Section 12J fund. So we just exited a lot of investors, and a lot of our investors opted not to get their money back, just to put it straight into the 12B. To offset any that deduction or that tax and other taxes that they have. So it's a great solution, and we got a lot of investors who've opted for that option.
And Raman's question, is the investor exposed to any risk on the gearing? I think you've answered that, but just confirm.
I answered that. So if the investment underperforms and we can't service our debt obligations to our banker, the banker cannot go after our investors. The banker will only go after the physical assets.
Guys, we've had our 45 minutes and then a little bit more, but I'd like to give you a last couple of minutes just to close off with. Vince, your final thoughts?
Thank you again, Alec. Thanks, Jonty. I think as we've reiterated, we're one of the fastest growing solar subscription companies in South Africa. And we're doing this off the base of the support that we have from partners such as Daltech. Jonty has alluded to the fact that, you know, we deploy quite a sizable amount of capital on a monthly basis. The basis for that is we spend a lot of time marketing to our customers and getting them to experience what we want them to experience, making sure that we manage default by being excellent in the customer experience space. So we're quite excited that we have a future fit business that will be around for quite some time. particularly with the type of financing solutions and the fundraising that we have embarked on. So we're quite happy with that, and we look forward to continuing to be a part of the community, or the tribe, as you put it, and hopefully we'll see each other in the next one.
Jonty, my question here is that I spoke to Andrew to begin with on Go Solar, I had a few people phoning and saying, hey, man, I want to invest in this company. I want to invest in this business. It's interesting that Go Solar has not gone through this kind of route, but it's more been funded through corporates. Why would you have come to individuals? What was the appeal there, given that there is a lot of corporate funding for people like Wetility?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, ultimately, any business, whether it be Go Solar, Wetility, they need some form of equity in order to raise the bank debt. So I wouldn't know where Go Solar raised their equity, but they obviously have, and then they would go to a banker to raise the debt. Similarly in Wetility's scenario, where they've raised equity from Metier. The question now, and that was what Vince said earlier, is what's important to them is their WACC, their weighted average cost of capital. Now, it makes sense for a company like a Wetility or other solar providers to come to us, because our investors get such a huge tax benefit, and we can structure a deal over 10 years. So our competitiveness is, we think, way more competitive than a bank. And that's why we are, in under 2 years, done over 250 sites, because we are, we think, more competitive than any bank in the market. And that's why it made sense. I think from a Go Solar's perspective, you know, they obviously raised their money from whoever they raised their money, and they're happy. We think that this is our type of Section 12B funding is extremely attractive. But they've gone their route, and good for them.
Jonty Sachs is a partner at Geltech. Vincent Maphosa is the founder and the chief executive of Wetility. And I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com. Thank you for being on this webinar with us. And for more details and information, you can get it on the BizNews site or from Mr. Sachs himself. Jonty at geltech.co.za. Is that
That's
right?
That's it.
Got it. Hold on. Thanks, guys. Until the next time. Cheerio.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Thank you.